Well, good morning, everyone. It's beginning to feel like winter around here in Central Texas, isn't it? This is Steve Sappington, and welcome to the December 6th version of Enriching People's Lives. Again, for those of you who haven't heard our show before, we are glad to have you. We are just in the process of doing this show for about 6 weeks now. We started back in the 1st of November. And we're excited. We're glad to be on the air and to be sharing some of these vital concepts with people. We'll be talking about all types of topics. We'll be covering, of course, financial things and insights, and we'll be talking about a lot of spiritual things. We'll be talking probably about some health and fitness and exercise issues, wherever my interests take me. And then, of course, we'll also be glad to host guests from various other disciplines and professions and other ministries too. So if you know someone who you'd like for more Christians in the Central Texas area to find out about, well, please give us a call, let us know about this person, and we'll talk to them about being a guest on our show. My number is 254-751-0565. That's 751-0565. Or you can email me. That's sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. Sappington is S-A-P-P. So Sam Alpha Papa Papa. I-N-G T as in Tom O-N. sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. And, we're going to have a little giveaway at the end of the show, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be giving a copy of my book, which is entitled Today's Word on Money. This, for those of you who are just tuning in, we wrote this book a while back, and it's a 40-day journey through examining the various spiritual components of today's financial problems. You know, so many people... politicians and economists and people in the financial industry, it seems to me like they all, you know, they have different ideas about how much money should go where, but they're all trying to solve the problem with money. And, you know, my belief is that a lot of our problems have roots in the spiritual realm. And so we wanted to deal with that in our book. We'll come out with a book soon that will deal with financial topics. But we wanted this first book to really talk about the spiritual component of today's financial issues. We feel like it doesn't matter what financial product or strategy you have, if you don't have things together in the spiritual realm, you're just going to be getting further and further into problems, going the wrong direction. It's kind of like if you climb a ladder and you get up to the top of the ladder and you realize the ladder was leaning against the wrong building. So we want to make sure that we're rooted and grounded in God's principles before we start studying a whole lot of financial products and strategies. So we'll be talking a lot about spiritual things, about what the Bible says about various topics of the day. You know, in our book, we talk about retirement accounts. We talk about the dangers of retirement accounts. We talk about, should you have a mortgage? You know, is debt always a bad situation? Is it sin? Is it always a problem? Is it always... avoided. And we talk about insurance. We talk about 529 plans, college funding plans. We talk about a number of issues. We talk about retirement. You know, what's the difference between retirement and redirection? What does the Bible say about retirement? Does it say anything And we talk about, like I say, a number of issues that are, I think, pressing on people's minds. And you know, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So we hope to share some knowledge. As we believe a lot of it is outside the box in many ways. It's not what you're hearing on the TV talk shows or financial shows. And so, you know, it's sad to say, but nowadays... you know, Christians have a problem with debt about as much as non-Christians, and they have a problem with divorce about as much as non-Christians. So that's not to condemn any of you that are going through some things. We'll be praying for you. In fact, we've been through some financial issues years ago. That's one thing that encouraged me to write this book, is to, because I've seen the damage that. That debt can do to a family. So please feel free to contact us. Let us know how you like the show. Let us know if you know of a topic, or if you have a question. Well, email us a question. We'll be happy to answer it on the air. And we look forward to receiving those. And give us some feedback. Let us know how we can improve the show. Again, we believe there's always room for improvement. And so we welcome your comments. Today we want to talk about... an experience that I had about a week ago, actually on November 28th, which was the Saturday after Thanksgiving. I was privileged to be able to attend the Baylor versus Texas Tech football game. It was played in the new Cowboy Stadium in Arlington. And I wasn't just a guest there, but I got to actually sit in a very fancy box. Have a college buddy who has worked with Mitsubishi for about 30 years, and he's, I guess, in charge of like the entire Western region. He's got 14 area managers that regional people that report to him. So he was able to acquire the box for this game. And he invited me to go, and so it was a gorgeous setting. I really, even though football is not my favorite sport, I was glad to go. I wanted to see the structure. You know, that Cowboy Stadium cost over $1 billion. The screen alone cost over $30 million, which, if I understand right, you know, the original Cowboy Stadium didn't cost as much as that current screen does, and that $30 million didn't include the installation cost. That's just the screen itself. So, you know, it was just amazing, the clarity and the detail of the screen. You know, they did close-ups on people's faces, and it was amazing how good it was. Anyway, so we were able to go there and enjoy the football game. And, you know, like I say, I would highly recommend that you, if you get a chance, that you visit the stadium, whether or not you like football. As we were... Again, one of the perks of being able to sit in the box is we also had some special parking passes, so we were able to park very close to the stadium. And as myself and my two children were walking in, I told them, I said, "Now, you know, I want you to realize that we're going to be able to experience some of the best that the world has to offer." But I said, "I want you to notice how people can get out of balance, and they can begin to worship things like this and substitute this type of experience for you know, God and loving and worshiping Him." And so I think there are several, you know, takeaways. You know, it's nice to enjoy festive events and material things. The Bible says God gives us things to enjoy, but again, we're not to worship them. And so here are some of the takeaways that I came away with after the game. You know, number one, I think that Christians really need to attempt to do things in a first-class way. You know, if we want to tell others about Jesus, we don't need to have a what I call a garage sale mentality. You know, that doesn't mean that we compromise our message, but it does mean that we recognize that, you know, God owns everything, and if He calls us to do something, He'll also show us how to pay for it. You know, that probably means that we need to listen more and more often and more closely to God, and be sure of what He's calling us to do. Because I don't know about you, but there are too many times I've, you know, just did a little quick prayer And instead of asking God what was the plan, I asked Him to bless my plan. And so, after floundering around after a while and not accomplishing the goal, I realized that God wasn't in it. You know, I heard a preacher say one time that Jesus said He's the author and finisher of our faith, but He's not required to finish anything He didn't offer. So, we need to do things first class, but make sure that God's calling us to do that. If so, then He'll provide. He'll show us a way to pay for it and to do it in a way that's done with excellence. The second takeaway that I came away with was that when we do use material things as tools to help us share the gospel, we need to remember that the second commandment says we should worship God, the giver and not the gifts. My mentor Ray Lyon, Ray probably knows more about Christian stewardship than anyone I've ever met, and he has a website called lifestylegiving.com, and he advises major donors and ministries, how they can best be stewards of the wealth that God has entrusted to them. I consider him a mentor. I've been through some of his training, and he always told us to remember that people are always more important than possessions. People are more important than stuff. So we don't want to forget that. And a third takeaway that I came away with is that even in a professional sports venue like this, or a setting where everything's done world class, people still can make mistakes, and so we need to realize that. And that brings me to go through an excerpt from my book. And again, you can visit us on the website. It's todaywordonmoney.com. You can at the website there, you can follow me on Facebook or Twitter if you're big into social media, which I've really been enjoying learning more about those two media this year. You can click on another link that will take you to my blog. You can click on a link that will lead you to an archive of all of my previous newsletters. You can sign up to receive my newsletters. There's actually also another link there on the homepage where you can click on that, and it will allow you to listen to an interview that I did with Tim Wyman of the American Family Association. Here a month or two ago, Tim interviewed me about the book, and so you can listen to that interview. You can read sample chapters from the book. You can read reviews by several well-known Christians who were kind enough to read the book before it was published, and they said some really nice things. So I appreciate that. You can read those testimonials. Of course, you can order the book if you'd like. It's currently in ebook form, so it's digital. It's a PDF, and we're going to give away a copy of that today. So stay tuned, find out how that you can receive that. Let's see, what else can you do on the website? You can sign up for newsletters. Oh, we've just added a new tab that will allow you to actually listen to these broadcasts. We're uploading week by week as these broadcasts are aired. We're uploading them to the website so that if you'd like to listen to it again, or you heard it and you'd like to share, tell one of your friends about it, they can listen to it even if they were already gone to church this morning. So again, that's todaywordonmoney.com, and would love for you to visit, and you can email us there too if you want to go there, and there's a contact tab where you can click on that, and it will take you to an email. So the Lord gave me an insight a while back, and I included that in my book. The book is a 40-day study, but I actually added some bonus chapters connected to some of our major holidays. You know, I wrote a chapter around New Year's, and one around Valentine's Day, and one around Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, 4th of July, and so forth. Well, today we're going to talk, you know, I want to cover the part of the chapter that I wrote for Christmas Day, since we're now in December and we're thinking about Christmas. I wanted to share this with you. Again, I think it's something that will be very helpful to you. The title of the chapter is When Athletes Drop the Ball. You know, in these times of political correctness, some people have gotten to be where they're almost afraid to say the words Merry Christmas. And, you know, I believe this type of persecution exists in part because of a double standard. So join us for a little Christmas Day sports analogy. You know, I really enjoy sports. I grew up playing baseball and basketball and golf, and nowadays I do a variety of exercises. I love to walk. My wife and I tend to walk most days of the week, and I enjoy lifting weights, do some karate and various things. You know, I believe we're called to be good stewards of our physical bodies. You know, the Bible says that that's God's temple. You know, I also enjoy watching sports. As a spectator, I especially enjoy basketball. I'm a big Baylor Bear basketball fan, and of course, I always root for my alma mater, which is Oklahoma Baptist. So if there are any Bison out there listening, or Karip Karap and Zip Bang OBU, that's some excerpts from a school yell that we all had to memorize when we were students there at OBU. So if there are any Bison out there, you'll recognize some of those words. But again, I believe a simple sports analogy can help many Christians explain to skeptics, you know, how we believers should put our faith into practice. I think this analogy is especially helpful when someone, you know, tells you that they can't follow Jesus, that, you know, there's too many hypocrites. You know, and they say, well, you know, these people who call themselves Christians, they don't act like Jesus, and so I don't want anything to do with it. Well, I think there's that's some flawed thinking, and I'll share with you why. You know, anyone who enjoys sports knows that even the best athletes make mistakes. You know, I've seen both Little League and Big League baseball players drop fly balls. I've seen NBA players and Final Four basketball tournament players actually call timeout when there were no timeouts remaining. Of course, that you forfeit the ball when that happens. I've seen NFL players, you know, wide receivers drop a pass when there was no defender anywhere near them. So here's my question. You know, when these players drop the ball or make mistakes, should their mistakes invalidate that sport? Should we judge a sport according to the degree of perfection that it's played? And if it's not played perfectly, does that mean we should then abolish that sport? Well, obviously the answer is no. You know, just because a mistake was made, it does not follow that the game is flawed or that we can't enjoy even playing or watching a game. You know, we may enjoy it less if our team loses, especially if they lose because of making too many mistakes, but I've yet to hear of someone calling for an end to the game of basketball, even if their team played horribly. So here's my question. Why do we as Christians then allow critics of our faith to disparage Christianity just because Christians make mistakes and are not perfect? So next time you hear someone use the word hypocrite, turn it around and say, well, do you like sports? And then give them that analogy. You know, if they don't like sports, well, you can use any number of other analogies from other disciplines. For example, you know, if someone makes a mistake in math, does that mean they stop counting? Do they not use addition, subtraction, multiplication, division any longer just because they made a mistake? Well, no. If they make a bad financial decision, do they stop using money? And here's a good one. If you have a bad experience at a restaurant, do you stop eating? See, it's flawed thinking. You know, we might not eat at that restaurant anymore until they change management, but that doesn't mean we stop eating. So, you know, if we meet one Christian who is not very Christ-like, you know, that doesn't mean we abandon the, you know, the whole faith. It might mean we want to find out you know, meet some other Christians. You know, I just actually saw Sandra Bullock interviewed the other day. You know, she starred in this movie that I haven't seen yet. It's called Blindside, based on a true story about a young man who was adopted by a wealthy family, and he's gone on to play college and now professional football. And Sandra Bullock said she had been skeptical of many Christians, but when she met the people that adopted this young man, she changed her mind because she saw true Christianity, you know, being lived out. And so I thought that was great that that couple from Tennessee were able to have that that kind of influence on someone who's, you know, very successful in her chosen profession of acting. You know, to go a little further into our sports analogy, you know, I'm not saying that it's okay to let go and, you know, yield to every selfish urge that comes your way. You know, Paul tells us in Romans 6, you know, just because we've been forgiven by the grace of God, that does not give us a license to sin. What I am saying is that, you know, we should not allow someone to condemn us with a false standard that they would never apply to any other area of our lives or theirs. When we evaluate Christianity, Jesus and his life alone should be our measuring stick. So at this time of year, when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in the coming years, my wish for you is that you will truly experience, you know, the peace on earth and the goodwill toward people that only Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection can give you. Now, as we have a few more minutes here, I want to share with you just a couple of other thoughts. Again, as I mentioned earlier, please visit our website, todaywordonmoney.com. We have added a shows tab so that you can listen to these weekly broadcasts at your convenience. So be sure to let us know how you like that. And let us know, like I say, if there's another topic or guest that you'd like us to feature on our show, because at some point I may want to let someone else talk a little bit. Now, in terms of stocking stuffers or little gifts, I have a few recommendations that I would commend to you. I just, you know, Governor Mike Huckabee was here in Waco a couple of months ago, and I got to meet him and have my picture made with him. And he, I ordered his latest book. It's called Simple Christmas, and I really encourage you to read that. That's a great book. You know, whether or not you agree with Mike Huckabee on every issue, and I don't, but one thing I truly respect about him is that he is very articulate, and he's very what would be the word? He's very diplomatic. You know, he doesn't holler and yell, and he doesn't interrupt other people. He listens. He's not threatened by their questions or their answers. In fact, he's even invited guests on his show. If you watch his TV show on the Fox on Saturday night, he invites people on there sometimes who totally disagree with him, and he, you know, gives them an opportunity to challenge his views. And so, you know, I think we've lost too much. A lot of civility, and he, I appreciate that about him, is that he discusses things in a civil tone. And so, the book, A Simple Christmas, he actually tells 12 stories from his life, moving stories about some tragedies that his family's gone through and survived. So that would be a great stocking stuffer. Another book that I'm in the process of reading right now, it's actually was written by a couple of teenagers. It's called Do Hard Things, and great book. The teenagers wrote it to inspire and encourage other teenagers, but I'm being inspired by it myself. Their premise is that too often here in America, teenagers are let off the hook, so to speak. And, you know, they don't feel like much is expected of them, so that, you know, teenagers, you know, teenage years, that's just a time to goof off and have fun and party and so forth. And they challenge that notion in this book, and they say, you know, that if you look in history, a lot of famous people did great things when they were teens. George Washington, Clara Barton, many other people. And so they have done some very challenging things themselves. They were homeschooled and have actually run political campaigns already just, you know, as teenagers. So it's a great book, and I would encourage you to buy that for any teens that you have in your house, whether it's your children or grandchildren. And then the last book I'd like to... I've got two more books. Third book is entitled Nothing But a Jar of Oil, and that's based on this story when the widow, her two sons were about to be put in jail, and the prophet told her to go get as many jars as she could and fill them up with oil and sell that and live off the rest to pay off her debts. And that was written by a good friend and mentor of mine named Patrice Sage. And you've probably heard me mention Patrice before, but he has written an entire series of works entitled Biblical Entrepreneurship. You can take these courses online or in person. And Biblical Entrepreneurship really looks at what God's Word says about business. And so I highly encourage you, if you want to run your business God's way, or even if you're an employee and you want to do things in a godly manner, I would highly encourage you to invest some time. And I think his courses are typically $200 or $300, so not that expensive. They typically last about 8 to 12 weeks, an hour or two a week, plus some study time. But they have some great information. And if you'd like more information on that, just give me a call. I'll be happy to share that with you. Or you can go to Patrice's website. It's NehemiahProject.org. Patrice is a fascinating young man. He's in his mid-30s. He was actually born in Cameroon, Africa. His mother is still very influential in that country's government. Patrice came over here as a young, I guess he was 10 or 12 years old, when he came to America to study, and became a Christian when he was about 18, 20 years old. And so has just a remarkable aptitude for studying God's Word and gleaning business principles out of it. Just, when he points things out to me, it just, I just ask myself, how could I miss that? It's just so obvious, but it's just great things that he does. He covers topics like, what is the difference between worldly profit and godly profit? One thing Patrice says is that, profit for the Christian is not the goal, it's the fruit. And we're expected to treat profit differently. Again, we're stewarding a business or our job, our career for God. And so, all profit is not meant to just be used and spent on ourselves, but there are things that we do with it, whether it's invest in the business or fund more kingdom projects and so forth. So he goes into great detail about what is godly profit and how should we deal with profit as Christians. Just fascinating, great, uplifting and encouraging and edifying information. I would highly commend his book and his courses to you. And the last book is Surviving Financial Meltdown. That's by Ron Blue of Kingdom Advisors. And you can go to kingdomadvisors.org. Ron is pretty famous in the Christian world in terms of financial. He had a CPA practice and financial advisory practice. Okay, last minute we've got here. We're going to give away a free book for the first person or to the first person that calls us or writes us, emails us. Again, call me at 751-0565 or email me at sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. And we will send you a free, the first person that does that, we'll send a free book to you. We'll need to get your contact information so we can email the book to you. But we think it'll bless you, and we look forward to doing that and hearing from you. Again, this has been Steve Sappington with Enriching People's Lives. We pray that December is great for you this year, that 2010 will be your best year yet, not your best year ever, but your best year yet. So may the Lord richly bless you, and we look forward to visiting with you again next week on Enriching People's Lives.